Blog Talk Radio.
Listen to the Antique E Show. Tonight we have a guest. His name is Mr. Frederick Johnson of Communion Television. Mr. Johnson, are you on the phone? Mr. Johnson? Hello, Mr. Johnson? Okay, I don't think we have Mr. Johnson on the phone yet. Bear with me, audience, until we can make a connection with Mr. Frederick Johnson of Communion Television. See if there is a problem. He must have hung up. I don't see him. All right, we're going to play another tune for you until we can reconnect. Okay, are you there, Mr. Frederick Johnson?
I'm here.
All right, I'm sorry for the technical difficulty we experienced, but I'm so happy that you're able to make it to the show tonight on this special night. You know, normally we have a show on Sundays, but you told me you couldn't make it on Sunday, so we reschedule it for Monday night. Can you introduce yourself, Mr. Johnson, to the family?
Yes, and I want to thank all of the listeners for the Antique E Show. My name's Frederick Johnson. I'm CEO of a company called Communion, Inc. We're a New York-based company based in Brooklyn. And for the past few years, since 2004, we've been building a global broadcast network.
Okay. All right. Can you tell the audience, what does your global broadcast network entail? And what is your mission statement?
Our focus is to build the kingdom of God, and we're utilizing convergence. And the way we describe it, it's broadband, so internet, wireless, which is mobile, and television. And we've been building an infrastructure and architecture to deploy a series of channels in media and technology, all designed to help people so they actually understand why they're here and participate in the building and financing of God's kingdom.
Okay. Now, what prompted you, or did you have an epiphany of sorts to tell you, let's start this Communion Television?
Yeah, I like that, an epiphany. That's a word I need to look up in the dictionary. What happened was I was involved in business development. I'd actually lived in California for several years and was sent to New York. The Lord spoke to me in April of 2003, and all he told me was New York. I happened to be doing some business deals and had a break in between meetings, and I was down by Battery Park on a beautiful day, and the sun was shining over the water, and I'm looking out at the Statue of Liberty, and I heard him clear. All he said was New York. And again, I had been living out in the Bay Area, out in San Jose proper, and I didn't want to come to New York. I had no intention to come to New York because I loved the Bay Area. But he spoke clear and said New York, and so I knew I was moving to New York. Now, I came to New York in August of that year and had finished a contract, and I thought right when this contract was signed, we were launching an ISP. And it was an ISP designed to help families. And I had done the math, and I was going to earn a nice finder's fee from it, and I was anticipating that the site would launch, and then you'd start getting subscriptions. For those people in technology, we're seeing the fruits of that with companies like Google and Microsoft and Apple, et cetera, people dealing with microeconomics and microfinance. But it was very early in those days because, again, I was talking about 2003. And I was in the Bay Area when the bubble hit in the late 90s. So I was very, very familiar with the Internet as a space. But the bottom line was is that the business never launched. And I, one part that's key to this conversation, I was homeless. So I was homeless when I left California, and then I arrived in New York, and I was homeless here. And I was staying with a friend who had an apartment over in Brooklyn, and I'm walking, and I just prayed, and I said, God, I know about this digital broadcast network. I know what needs to be done, because I had been involved in a lot of different initiatives, never as an owner or somebody to run it. My focus typically was to put people together and try and cut a deal where I take the money and run. But I said, I know what needs to be done with your network. Well, to shorten the story, what happened is about a month later, a couple of weeks later, I just went into prayer. I think what the old people will call it, they call it a shut-in. All I knew was that I had asked the woman I was staying, it was a woman who let me use her basement to shower and change clothes. And a friend had given me a laptop computer, so I just taken my laptop, some CDs, some gospel music, my Bible, and I just told Patricia, I said, don't worry about me. I'm going to be spending time in prayer. Said, I'm not taking any phone calls. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be down here. And it was in her basement in her home in Brooklyn, the same home that we live in now. And we're married, happily married now. And
congratulations. And,
thank you much. Thank you much. Celebrating 5 years. And what happened was is I was praying. And it was about the third day. It was about 4:30 in the morning. And literally, audibly out of my mouth, because I was bowing, praying, the word communion came out of my mouth. And shortly afterwards, I mean, I spoke out communion, and then shortly afterwards, I plugged in the computer, and God had me write the business plan. I wrote the business plan that night into the morning, however you want to look at it. And that's where communion started. He gave me the blueprint there, wrote the business plan, and that was in September of 2003. We incorporated the business in January 2004. And we've been growing and learning and growing and learning ever since.
Now, is Patricia, your wife, involved with the enterprise?
Absolutely. She has been a supporter prior to becoming my wife. She's a woman of great vision. I can definitely tell you that. She's an office holder and owns stock in the company. She's the treasurer of Communion. And she also brings a lot of unique savvy. I'll give you an aside. We both like HGTV. She's a big fan of it, right? And so she was watching, and one particular day she said, you got to see this film. You got to see this film. It was a beautiful film called A Man Named Pearl. And don't mind plugging the film because it's a brilliant story. And so she didn't know this, but I had a college classmate who was an executive at HGTV, and I had been developing some business that I wanted to pursue with HGTV. So I had some connections down there. I contact them, get a copy of the movie. My wife's blown away because, you know, now you got an original movie from this presentation, and we're watching this film. Now, to give you and your audience background on A Man Named Pearl, there's a man down in a small town in South Carolina who he does horticulture, shaping plants, growing plants and shaping them. But he's created this garden that is a phenomenal garden, and people around the world come to see this man's garden. And the thing that is beautiful for me from a kingdom perspective is, you know, it is all through the inspiration of God. He has no formal training, and the work that he's doing literally has people's minds and minds blown, mouths open. But it's something as simple as that. This is a woman who I know, and she has an eye, and she hears God and says, let's tap into that. Now, why is that important for us? We have plans at some point to do some screenings of that film, A Man Named Pearl. We'd like to follow up with the rights holders, follow up with HGTV, because it's the type of story that you don't want to see once, and it can really impact so many generations.
Now, quickly, what was the first programming, show that you really put together that you knew that you really were on to something? Like, can you give us an example of one of the first major programs that you got a lot of positive feedback and you said, we got to keep on doing this because we're doing it right?
Well, we knew one of the things, my pastor is also a prophet. Her name's Dr. Baker, and she produces a television show called The Tell It Like It Is Show. And this show aired in the Bay Area, upwards of 12 years. She's probably done over 400 shows. Well, a few years ago, and I believe you're from New Jersey, is that correct?
Correct, Northern New Jersey.
Okay, there was a landmark case that was dealing with eminent domain, and the Supreme Court basically came in and allowed.
Was that in Atlantic City?
There was one dealing with Atlantic City because I knew New Jersey was a hot spot. Another one, this case that went to the Supreme Court, I believe, came out of Connecticut. But my pastor, she's also a commercial realtor. So I was up late night watching her show. She had sent me some videos, and I'm watching the show, so I'm not letting you know how old, right? So I had a VHS of the show. Anyhow, I'm watching this show, and the call was, we need, because you're talking about violating constitutional rights to private land ownership when the government can come in and just take your property. And that's what the Supreme Court overruled this case, and this was in 2004, I believe. Well, when I'm watching the show, I'm sitting down and I'm going, hey, I own a broadcast network. Now, your listening audience may have never heard of us, and that's how we move. I know what God has given me. It means it's still here. It may not be seen by many people, but I know what he's given me. So I'm telling myself constantly, I own a global broadcast network. So I'm watching it, and I'm going, I need to get this story out to more people. So to make it short and sweet, what we did is in 2005, when we went live in September 22nd, 2005, was the first time anyone on the Internet heard of Communion. We had put together a series of programming that included her show, which was very important for us because we did get responses from people that were proponents of repealing the Supreme Court decision. But we also had commercials that were given to us by Adidas. They did this great campaign called Impossible is Nothing. Do you recall that?
Right. I got that poster. I have it in my classroom.
Well, there.
Muhammad Ali.
That's right. His daughter, Layla, was fighting Ali. That was a groundbreaking commercial. There was a series of commercials that were all based on impossible is nothing. Well, of course, we laughed because we said, well, that's scripture. Jesus said nothing's impossible with God. God impossible is nothing. But they were great commercials. So I contacted Adidas. Adidas gave us those commercials and gave us the broadcast rights to run them on the Internet. We also had a film by BMW Films. And the film was called Beat the Devil, and it starred Gary Oldham and also the late James Brown. And it was that old story of the rocker, the musician who sells his soul to the devil. And this movie was phenomenal. BMW did their own film series. A lot of people may not have been aware of it, but they had a series of phenomenal independent films. And this was one of them, and BMW gave us the okay, and they even partnered with us and allowed us to link BMW to our website. And we had a series of other programming that was a montage, if you will. So we had long form, short form. One show was an Emmy-nominated show out of San Francisco called Latin Eyes, which was English language programming but reaching a Latino audience, and it was phenomenal. And again, we were doing this in 2005. So people are going to a Hulu.com or, you know, a YouTube, whatever, to see this variety of video on the internet, but most people weren't there, and we were. And I think one of the other exciting things that happened on that date, and that's why I say exciting programming, because we did get great response from it, and we sent out an email to 1.3 million people through one of our company partners out of Arizona. But the other piece of footage that was great was a program. I don't know if you're a golfer. Are you a golfer?
No.
Okay.
No, but I have friends that are.
Well, golf is a phenomenal sport from a lot of standpoints. It's fun, all of that. But there's an organization called the First Tee. And Joe Louis's son, the boxing great Joe Louis's son, his name is Joe Louis also. It's Joe Louis Barrow Jr., and he's the founder of this organization called the First Tee. Well, I had found a piece of footage through one of my platform partners that the Walmart Corporation had sponsored the First Tee. And what they did is they flew in children from all over the world to play in Pebble Beach. And so you saw all these nationalities, Asians and Africans and white folks and all the colors in the hue playing golf and learning about the value of golf behind this organization called the First Tee. And I looked at that and I said, that's kingdom. I asked, I want to get that footage. So my platform partner put me in contact with somebody down in, what's that, Bentonville, Arkansas, where Walmart's headquartered. So I'm speaking with the Walmart people. They gave us the okay, and that footage ran when we debuted Communion. So when you said be short about it and you said, hey, when did you know that first big thing? That first big thing was that because it showcased that, you know what, we have these excellent brand names, yes, but it's really about the value of the content. Impossible is nothing, beat the devil, you know, it's like, yeah, that went out. And I could also honor my pastor, who's the prophet, by putting her television show on the internet and broadband.
Wow. Now, can you tell us about some new and up-and-coming broadcasts that you plan on having so that our audience knows when to tune in and to get excited about your show? I'm very excited about what you're doing.
I would like them to go to communion.tv right now, and they can go there now and click on God Chose Israel. When we talk about new programming, God Chose Israel debuted on September 25th, and it's an initiative. And it was had one focus, and that was God's intervention on behalf of Israel. And what we did, it was a prayer service, a public prayer service in Times Square. The idea came from a friend of mine named Eva Shema. Her roots go back to Israel. She's got family members that were actual settlers that had paid for the lands. Cause see, I didn't even know that you had Jewish.
You mean settlers in Pakistan?
No, you were going to say Palestine.
Palestine, yeah.
Right. They were actual settlers there. The Jews own that land, right? So she's broken down that history, and they actually paid money. They had deeds to that land. But so.
Are they removing the Palestinians that are living there now?
Are who removing the Palestinians?
The Jewish people who say they paid for the land. The land that they paid for,
I'm going to go all the way. What I'm telling you about is history, where I'm telling you that you have Jewish people that were there during that time, and just like you would pay a deed and you would pay for land and that would be your property because you did everything according, they did that. And so Eva was giving me this history.
Wait one second. So you're trying to say, like, the Native Americans and the colonial settlers, that type of arrangement?
No, what I'm telling you is that Eva Shema, who is Jewish, was giving me the history of something that I did not know, and that there were Jews that had actually paid money for land in Israel. Now, that's what I'm telling you. Now, the part that was neat for me, that's just a piece of her history, is we were talking about prayer for Israel. So we put together a public prayer service on behalf of Israel, and we did it in Times Square. And something very phenomenal, and this is why I want your listening audience to go to the website, is because we had purchased time on one of those digital signs in Times Square, And
I noticed that. I've seen the video.
And the video is actual footage, came from two sources. One is from a film called Land of the Covenant, and the other came from Israel's Ministry of Tourism. And what blew me away, because I've never been to Israel, is when I saw that footage, I didn't realize how beautiful Israel was. But that event ended up being a tremendous call. Through that, we did a live stream of the event that day. So when you go to the site, you'll see a rebroadcast of the event. What we're getting ready to do now is build out a new broadband channel called God Chose Israel that has higher production footage and has other content about Israel. So that's in effect, and we're developing. We have another broadband channel, has nothing to do with Israel, called Color of Golf, which is a golf broadband channel. And actually, it's wonderful because we're in conversations with Golf Digest magazine. We're working on a technology initiative with USGA that they will allow us to utilize a rules animation video about the sport, and just a host of initiatives all about growing the game of golf worldwide. And I'll let you know this if your audience isn't aware. The Olympic Games, golf was an Olympic sport in the early 1900s. They had been lobbying to bring golf back. Well, just this year in Copenhagen, they gave the approval, so golf is an Olympic sport again, and in 2016, it will be in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And yes, Color of Golf, we're already working on how we will be participating in the 2016 Olympics with what we're doing through broadband. And I'll tell
you, that is awesome. That's exciting.
And I'll tell you one other thing, because I have plenty. We have I said one other thing. So I'll talk about, this is not related to communion directly, but the country of Rwanda is doing phenomenal things. I don't know if you're familiar after the genocide what's happening over there, but it's a miraculous transformation of the nation. And there's a film called As We Forgive, and our ministry is doing screenings of this film because it's so powerful and it's showing the power of forgiveness and a transformation that's taken place in Rwanda. And it's the type of thing that you recognize, you know what, if I do this in my own life, what will it do within my own community, as well as what you see taking place in Rwanda? So what does that have to do with communion? Well, as a broadcast network that's involved in media and technology, we're first going to screen it in two theaters, in San Jose and also in New York. But we've made a proposal to the distributor to allow us, after their contract is complete with PBS, to allow us to do an online internet broadcast of that film, and that would engage a global broadband audience. We want to do it for a 24-hour period so that everybody in every time zone would be able to watch it through what is taking place with the proliferation of broadband.
Now, so, I have two questions for you.
Yes.
Blockbuster is going out of business right now. Do you see yourself in your type of format or platform overtaking or filling the niche that the blockbusters used to have, whereas now we can go to the internet and watch an entire movie as opposed to watching a 10-minute clip on YouTube? Do you see your company being on that new wave?
The answer is yes. We're already a part of it, have been a part of it. And when we started it in 2004, it's been a part of it. But I want to change the game. It's really not about replacing a Blockbuster or replacing Virgin or replacing Hollywood.
Right.
Our focus is taking over. That's really what our focus is. I had a conversation earlier with a gentleman. I said, anything that we do, it has to help people. I don't get into it. It has to help people. So that means the storylines have to be relevant. You always have to be communicating truth. The technologies have to work. They have to be, you know, they have to work.
Well, you're on point. And I just let the audience know just how on point you are. You are so focused and you're so committed to God. Even just a little bit of time that I spent with you on the telephone, I'd like for you to tell the audience about Leslie out of Canada. And I hope that you will broadcast what she's doing out of Canada, and because what you told me was just awesome. And I want you to tell the audience about your experience in Canada, and I thought that was an extraordinary story.
It's phenomenal. Leslie Wells is similar to our host, who I'm speaking with, Ms. Leslie Gist Etheridge, in that both these women come from a lineage where their family members were slaves, once slaves, but then they became free, meaning they went through whatever they had to go through to become free. Now, Leslie Gist,
let me pause you for 1 second. Not just they didn't just obtain their freedom, but they made sure that hundreds of others were able to obtain their freedom. And after I hung up the phone with you, I looked up Mrs. Leslie Wells' name,
yeah.
And this is no lie, no exaggeration. When I opened up the book, the Underground Railroad book, written by William Steele, a black abolitionist turned millionaire in 1902, who passed away in 1902, when I opened up his book, I knew her name was very familiar. There is a lady named Harper's Wells, who was a black abolitionist and a writer. I think she's related to this woman that's depicted and profiled in William Steele's book.
Wonderful.
So I'm trying to reach her. I think her lineage is extremely powerful in respect to helping enslaved blacks to freedom and to move to Canada. But please finish your story. I apologize.
No, it's great. You're right, because the numbers are prolific and the numbers are you and me, okay? So this is why this is perfect. What happened is I grew up upstate New York. I had this burning thing going, hey, you know what? We hear about the Underground Railroad, but I knew Harriet Tubman took people to Canada. So there was a reason. She took them outside of the States. They went to Canada. They were free. I've never heard about the blacks in Canada. What happened there? So my wife and I, about 2-3 years ago, she was trying to figure out, where do you want to go on vacation? I said, you know what? Let's go to Canada. I know you've never been. It's a beautiful country, blah, blah, blah. I, through a friend of mine, told me about, who happened to be Canadian and black. She's from Montreal. I said, you know what? What's the history on blacks in Canada? It's something I always wanted to know about. And she referred me to Leslie Wells. Leslie Wells, the name of her tour company is Niagara Bound, and I know that Leslie Gist, our host, will have links available on the site. But I contacted Leslie Wells, let her know that we were driving from New York up to Niagara Falls, and I wanted to know more about her tour. Well, it got even better than that. We had a personal tour with Leslie Wells, and she took us to the actual communities where we saw the areas where businesses were. She told the stories about the people where they lived. Her roots, her family, came from Kentucky. So went through all of these great, great, whatever uncles they were, and the real stories and how they settled and the generations that were there. And I believe the community of St. Catharines is one of them on the other side of Niagara Falls, and even took me to the spot, the church where Harriet Tubman worshipped and the place where she used to live. And for me, yes, I had to take my shoes off and stand on that ground and praise God, and I did. And it was a wonderful experience. But, yes, this is a connection that's much needed for people that have that curiosity or want to know more about history. Now, I have something I do want to share with your audience. May I?
Yes. This is your time.
So I was, when I was first invited to be a guest on this show, something that I asked Leslie, I said, you know, what we'll do is we're going to pray and we'll let Holy Spirit determine what needs to come out. One of the things that's very important is about this thing called technology. Here it is. It's a blog, radio, internet. We're talking about global broadcasts. We're talking about God's kingdom. And I'm going to come to history. There's a man that you may be familiar with and others named Lewis Latimer. Have you heard that
right.
name before?
Yes, Lewis Latimer. He had something to do with the light bulb.
Right. So
Thomas Edison.
Yes, he did. And then he was also involved. The reason he was captivated me was the other great invention was the telephone. He also worked very closely with Alexander Graham Bell and the invention of the telephone. He was a phenomenal draftsman, and I was looking his story up online today. He came from a family also that escaped freedom. I mean, and then the thing that was it's just a phenomenal story. But I'm going somewhere with the technology. You have a man who, just coming out of slavery, who is brilliant with these founding inventions, and a black man, right? Or they'll call him Negro or colored, whatever they were using at the time. And he was involved
right.
in light and voice. Okay, so you have the telephone and you have light working with the most preeminent inventors of our time. So that's one. But I also want to share about a group of men known as the Buffalo Soldiers. And this is something that I learned working with a man named Anthony Powell. Anthony Powell, his website is portraitsinblack.com. It should be portraitsinblack.com. It might be .org. He is the foremost collector of Buffalo Soldier memorabilia in the world. In fact, the Smithsonian's collection comes from his collection. But here's the story. When we were doing our westward expansion of this nation, you had soldiers, primarily black soldiers, Buffalo soldiers, that were also engineers, and they were the ones that, as they were setting out the territory and dividing up the lines and setting up where the borders were, what they did in surveying our nation ended up being the markers for the telegraph. So they would put those poles in for the telegraph. The telegraph wires are the same system that was used ultimately for the telephone system. And then what has been built on that? Our server network for the internet also parallels that. So Paul, the apostle, wrote that, you know, there's only one foundation that you can build on, and that's Christ. And I just had to share this part with you, and that this technology and the things that we have and what we're involved in, it is colorblind, meaning we got color because God gave us color, but it's the inside. It's being tapped into what he has given us in his first covenant in Genesis 1, where he said, I made man in my image and likeness, male and female. So that means it ain't no gender. It's male and female in his likeness, and it's for us to have dominion and do the things that we're called to do.
Well, I never heard it put that beautifully before about technology and how it relates to God. And it's just incredible how you really articulated what needs to be said. And as an electronics teacher, I understand the rules and the principles behind it, and the same rules that you have to use in electronics apply to life. And I think you brought the scripture and you put it all together, and I'm so happy that I was able to speak to you, and I'm going to download the video and edit it so that I can get this part sent to everyone that I think needs to hear it. So this is a great show. Can you come back on the 27th?
The 27th? I should be able to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to have a special show on Black Friday. That's to kick off the Christmas season. And we have to continue this conversation. And I hope that everything that you talked about, as far as the technology and how it goes right back to Christ, I hope that your broadcast company will have a broadband channel which will focus on that part, because right now students are learning in school that technologists and scientists were like the mad scientists in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And they really haven't been taught the connection that most of these geniuses from all different colors were very spiritually, very spiritual, very connected to God. There's one book, I wish I could think of it from the top of my head, that is specifically written for children and young adults, that talks about the different spiritualities of the greatest scientists of the day that they choose to, that they selected. And, you know, like Newton and people like that. So I really want to place emphasis on these men and how they were spiritual. And they modeled, all their inventions were modeled after God, after nature. It was not against nature. It wasn't to fight nature, but it was to emulate it, to make it more useful for us. So we have to have this conversation again, and, you know, that's part of, you know, we prayed before we ended our conversation, our private conversation, and I think that our prayers were answered, and this interview is just awesome, and I think that you and I are going to work together on many different facets. So that's our interview is over. It's been over like 10 minutes ago. We stopped streaming live.
Okay.
But the interview has continued to record, so anyone that will come back and listen to this show, they'll hear the entire conversation, even though they got dropped out maybe 10 minutes ago. But when it's time for them to download, when we hang up, after about 5 minutes after we hang up, they'll be able to download the show. So will you. So if you go to www.theantiqueeshow, you should find yourself saying that you are the premier show, the feature show.
Wow.
Just click on the share button, and it'll give you some options, and you could download this show to CD, to your CD, to iTunes, to podcast, and you could send it out anywhere you want. You could put your pictures to it.
You're amazing.
You are amazing. You are amazing. We will talk.
Are you riding with your husband and daughter now? Because I talked to him and your daughter was in the background earlier.
Yes. We'll talk later. Let's just end this show right now, and I'll call you as the show is over.
Okay.
Thank you, audience, for listening. I think you are witnessing via air this show, something great that's about to happen between Mr. Frederick Johnson of Communion Television and Leslie Gist of the Antique Show. I think we're on to something, and just be glad that you witnessed it and you heard it first here. I'll be talking to you soon next Sunday at 6 p.m. Stay tuned. God bless everybody, and talk to you soon, Frederick. Bye-bye.
Thank you.